Live from our studios in Austin, Texas, this is Drinkin' Bros Fake News with Ross Patterson, Dan Holloway, Papa G with the traffic.
How you feel?
Not good.
Yeah?
Field reporter, Hot Bob. And Delco Dan with sports. Welcome to Fake News.
Yeah, welcome to Drinkin' Bros Fake News, everybody. Bringing you the realest, fakest news every day of this week. As I've mentioned before, Anthony Holloway was in Las Vegas doing a suicide prevention panel that actually just finished airing on YouTube roughly about 15 minutes ago. Brian Callen was the moderator. Tim Kennedy was with him there. It's excellent, and it is free, and it is available to watch on YouTube if you're out there and if you were struggling. This is a video you're definitely going to want to check out. But that means it's just me. It's just Papa Bear here all week filling in, and I'm living a dream. I'm living a fucking little tiny Drinkin' Bros dream here and just doing fake news every single day of the week. Just to do it. You guys have asked for it. Of like, hey, can you just do one full week of fake news? What would happen? Well, fuck it. I decided to try it. Who cares, dude? What would happen? It's going to be great. Every day you're shocked. You're like, holy shit, is there going to be enough stories for this bullshit? There sure the fuck is. It's never ending out there, okay? I know a lot of you guys are snowed in certain regions. Nashville, by the way, is going through it. I was just on a phone call with a gentleman in Nashville. Holy shit. I was unaware that they're all frozen in as well. If you are and you need some sweatshirts or hoodies or beanies, drinkinbros.com is open. The store's open. We got hoodies on there. Is that a Goof Juice hoodie?
Goof Juice hoodie.
Oh, man. I'm a big fan. Prices are a little higher here simply because we're going with American-made companies. Get it together, America. But at least we're supporting our own over there. We got the short sleeves of the Goof Juice as well, long sleeves of it. I'm going to have to get that hoodie. Big fan, as well as Hard AF beanies. Pop up those beanies real quick, Bob. I just placed an order for them late last night. I was super high, so I'm not sure how many I ordered. I wouldn't be shocked if like five or six end up showing up to the house. I have to go through the store just like everybody else, by the way. Like, we don't get free shit. So I'll just go on there and buy it. And yeah, that's what I bought last night. I think I bought like four or five of these in different colors. They're dope. They're sewn in.
We got the navy, gray.
Let's go. I got a gray one. I got a red one.
Yeah.
And I think I got a black one last night. I got three of them.
There's like six colors. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're freezing and you want one, is that a yellow? I didn't see the yellow one last night.
Neon yellow.
Look at that, dude. I fuck with that. I like that weird shit, man. I'm wearing fucking pink tennis shoes today, for Christ's sakes. Those municipals. I know I've talked about them in the past, but, these fuckers are pink and everybody always says the same thing when I'm out. They're like, look at you, little fashionista, you little maxinista. I love these goddamn things. The only note here, Marky, is they're a little heavy. Can't run in these things, but
no free ads.
They look cool. I know they're not a sponsor. I wouldn't mind if they were though. I don't think we've ever had a sneaker company on the show before. That would rock though. Mostly because it's hard to do. Sneakers are really fucking tough. I remember I reached out to Noble because I'm a fan of their shoes too, and I just simply didn't want to pay $220 for a pair of them. And I was like, "Do you guys want to be a sponsor and then send some shoes over?" And they were like, "Nah, fam, we're good." But it's really difficult to start a shoe company. The Ball family found that out the hard way there with the big Ball brand. Fucking homeboy. Didn't he end up in the hospital because they didn't fit well? I think he might.
I think it injured Lonzo.
It did injure Lonzo.
Oh, man. Imagine your father raises you to be an NBA superstar, you and your brothers, and then creates a shoe company. And that shoe is so terrible that it actually ruins your highly lucrative NBA career. Man. That one hurts. We got a listener who just popped in. Who do we got back there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Help yourself to some Hard AF seltzer, sir. Welcome to Drinkin' Bros. Doors are always open here for you guys. And we appreciate you stopping in. Let's start the show, shall we? First up, by the way, Bob called it yesterday. He said Tim Scott was rumored to be the VP as the Trump train rolled through New Hampshire last night. I ended up watching the victory speech, and who was right behind Trump? Old Tim Scott. Trump went out of his way, by the way, Bob, to say congratulations, beautiful new wife, got engaged, lovely woman, met her, lovely. Super straight Tim Scott, there he is. Look at Tim, he loves pussy. So do I, Tim, okay? So do I, proud of you. But it was a big night for Papa Trump last night as he steamrolled through the New Hampshire primary there for the GOP, ended up beating Nikki Haley. When I turned it off, I think they called it. He was up by 14, 15%. Do you know what he ended up winning by? I know it broke the record, whatever it was.
He won by 11 points.
11 points. And he's also the only GOP candidate to win New Hampshire and Iowa to start off primary season over there. No surprises here all the way around, except for the fact that Nikki Haley went out first, made a speech first, as if she won the goddamn thing, and said that she was so proud and this was a huge victory tonight for her and America and the Republican Party. I don't know what the fuck she was talking about. She lost by double digits. Again, Trump set a record there in that victory. I'm not sure why she wanted to get out first. I hope she doesn't stay in this thing for the South Carolina primary because she's the governor of that state. And if you lose as the governor of your own state, if you lose that primary.
She's the ex-governor.
Ex-governor. Man, dude. How embarrassing would that be? How fucking embarrassing would that? You were the governor of the state. The people loved you that much that they voted you in there for a couple terms, and then they just wouldn't vote for you for president. They said, you know what? You're good enough for our state. We just don't believe in you on a national level to do anything. Now, something very, very interesting as far as these numbers are concerned from last night. The most jarring one to me that stood out was 70% of Nikki Haley's voters last night were not registered Republicans. Look, I know a lot of people over the last few months have said that she's been funded by the Democrat Party and that they've been pushing this agenda and either try to get her as the nominee potentially or just to knock down Trump to force him to run and go through all of this while they get the trials going. And hopefully one of these trials starts before this is called. But I think we're out of time here, kids. But the 70% of voters to come out in that weather just to vote for Nikki Haley and you're not a Republican seems real fucking fishy to me. I don't understand it. Now, I know New Hampshire is a purple state, and they do have a lot of independent voters. However, 70%, when 70% of your votes are coming from non-registered Republicans for a GOP primary, just seems very fucking odd to me.
Two things I'll say about that is I think she won independent voters by like 30% or something like that. She crushed Trump and independent voters.
Well, look, Trump's not even going to win New Hampshire when the real election starts in November.
No.
And that's not surprising. So that's fine. But if you're going to get that many independents, you're usually going to win. You're usually going to win the primary. And to lose by double digits was shocking.
He killed her with Republicans.
Yes.
And there's more Republicans than there are independents.
Right.
So, and that's not really, doesn't really matter for the primary that much. The other thing I will say is, I probably won't do it this year because it'll be decided, but I'm independent, but I vote like in Texas, you can vote in either primary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the rules are in New Hampshire, but I imagine it might be similar.
Well, this year was different. I don't know if you heard, but Joe Biden, I guess they switched a state. So typically, I guess the Democrats South Carolina is supposed to go first before New Hampshire. New Hampshire said they were going at the same time. So he asked for his name to be taken off the ballot and said that he wouldn't support it or be there or whatever. And the Democratic candidate, I don't know his name, and forgive me, simply because it doesn't fucking matter. Same as the Republicans. They're so far behind. I don't know who it is. Tim something, I think his name is, Bob.
Dean Phillips.
Dean Phillips, that's it. Was that our listener who chimed in back
there? Yeah.
Fuck, dude. I appreciate it. Dean Phillips. Dean Phillips ended up getting 22% last night. But in fairness, I think Biden asked everybody to sit it out simply because they went out of order and he didn't want them to skip South Carolina. But that was also the turning point for him in 2020 in his own party's primary. So maybe that had something to do with it. Not really sure. Now, as far as you're concerned, Bob, do you go out and vote in primaries?
Yeah, I'll vote in whichever primary is typically more interesting to me.
Basically. Even on a Democrat, Republican, or are they on the same day?
They're usually on the same day when they're held, when it's like a dual situation. So like in 2016, I voted in the Republican primary.
Okay.
In 2020, yeah, I voted in the Democratic primary. And then I don't fucking remember what primaries I voted in for lower races like Senate and stuff like that. But I voted in a lot of primaries on, and what you do is in Texas, you go up and you're just like, I'm voting on the Democrat ballot or I'm voting on the Republican ballot or whatever. So I'll vote for wherever. I honestly, with lower races, with statewide races, I usually vote in the Republican primary because that's the real race anyway, for the most part.
Right.
So yeah, New Hampshire is a similar situation. You can't declare in the like at the ballot like you can in Texas,
mm-hmm.
but you can declare ahead, like relatively ahead of time. You don't have to be registered.
Usually they'll do it before, like when you're getting your driver's license or something like that, and ask you to declare. This was actually the 70%. This was according to the exit poll on the way out of there by CNN, and they had the guy on last night who does the things. If you want to pop up that video and play it, Bob, you can on Twitter. He kind of broke it down of the 70% that were voting for Haley, and this clip was circulating last night for a while here, and everybody was trying to make sense of it. I'm not sure what she's doing at this point or why she's still there. And the reason why I say that is you're burning so much fucking cash that it just doesn't make sense to me to throw away that much money on something you can't possibly win. You can play that video.
The rest of the night might play out. Let's go back to David Chalian with that. And David, you're getting more on the ways that Republican primary voters don't see eye to eye.
Yes, that's right, Jake. In these exit poll results, you see a Mars and Venus universe for Haley and Trump coalitions here. Take a look at the numbers. Among Trump voters, 70% of them, according to our exit polls, are registered Republicans. Donald Trump, his support, 27% of his voters are registered undeclareds or independents. 3% were unregistered before today. Look at how that compares with Nikki Haley. It's a complete reversal. It's an alternate universe. Among Haley voters, 70% are registered undeclareds. Only 27% are registered Republicans. We also see this with when asking people, did Joe Biden legitimately win the 2020 election? Which he did. Among Trump voters, 80% say no. They say it wrongly. No, Joe Biden did not legitimately win the 2020 election. Haley voters, it's the complete opposite. 83% of Haley voters say correctly that Joe Biden was the legitimate winner in 2020. Only 15% of her voters say wrongly that he was not. This is the Trump-Haley-Mars-Venus election tonight in New Hampshire.
Sorry. That's because we got all Democrats voting for Haley. I think this whole thing feels like a fucking psyop where it's just a paid off candidate. What I don't really get, though, at this point when you're getting trounced like this is why keep paying for it? I mean, I guess if you have endless money as a super PAC or a donor, whoever the fuck this is coming from, sure, you can burn your money however you want to. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I think by March 5th, I mean, we're roughly, I don't know, 5 weeks away, this will be all over. Now it's kind of up to see who the VP is going to be. Now, Biden, we obviously already know. He's not going to switch, you know, 9 months before an election. It's going to be Kamala. Have fun with that. With Trump, it's interesting. So I mentioned Tim Scott was on stage with him last night. Also, Ramaswamy was on. He gave about a roughly 18 to 20 minutes victory speech afterwards and invited both of them to speak. Now, I will say this. In regards to Tim Scott, he had Tim Scott come and speak, and Scott was speaking about voting for him in South Carolina. So I get it. He's obviously the senator down there, and that's a big one that's coming up here in the next couple weeks. So it all makes sense to me. Ramaswamy, though, my wife was asking, they were like, what do you think the deal is there? I think it's a cabinet position. I don't think they're going to give him VP. Where would I love to see him? Even after his speech last night, God damn it, that guy's a great orator, whatever you think about him. Truthfully, I don't really know that much about him. We've been trying to get him on the show. With Ramaswamy, I would love, pay any amount of money if there was a GoFundMe for this or some form of vote for it. If he was the White House press secretary, if Trump ends up winning this goddamn thing, it would be a treat to watch every single day. And for all of these news outlets, if you're trying to bring your ratings back from the dead, having him go against the fucking leftist media every single day, those ratings would go through the roof. So CNN, I'd highly consider it airing it at least, or MSNBC. Because let's face it, Maddow is not airing anything Trump-related, including last night. We're not going to air the victory speech. We're going to take a listen to it. And if we feel there's something interesting to report news-wise, we'll give it to you. Otherwise, we're going to give you the news that we think you need to be fed and not the actual news, which is going on in the world, even though it is a different fucking party on the other side, which is fun. Next up, Carrie Lake was secretly recorded here. Top Arizona Republican who did, in fact, offer her a bribe has just resigned. That happened right now, actually. So I'm going to pop this up. Arizona Republican Chair Jeff DeWitt, who is on that tape, resigns over the bombshell audio that surfaced bribing Carrie Lake to stay out of office. Bob, do you want to play this audio clip here?
Is there a number at which
I can be bought?
Not be bought.
That's what it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple of years.
No.
And then go right back to what you're doing.
Mm-mm. No.
Take a pause for a couple years.
10 million, 20 million, 30, no, no, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country. I think it's disturbing that they would even... that anybody would think this is...
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now for the reason that I've never seen anyone... I can't think of a single person in a federal race who lost, ran in and won. I can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I am not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me.
Wow. Wow. Even the manner at which he asked. So I had read this story without hearing the audio first. And then I heard the audio last night after I read the story. I mean, that's just a back room at a Marriott after a couple G&Ts saying, look, Carrie, is there a number I can give you just to fuck off for a couple years? And then you can go back to doing what you're doing. And that's what he said. Just take a couple years off. Just pause a couple years, and then you can go back to whatever it is you're doing in 2 years and then figure it out from there. They need a fresh face. Look, think what you will of Carrie Lake. Me personally, I think she got fucking jobbed in that last election. I don't know who the goddamn winner is, simply because Hobbs, who actually won in that state, was on the election committee. Pulled a Joe Biden, didn't even go out and speak, didn't do anything. Carrie Lake was up in the polls all the way to the very end by like fucking 5 to 10 points.
Hey, we don't care about polls here.
We don't care about polls. But it's strange as fuck, Bob, dude. It's absolutely fucking bizarre, dude. Because there's a lot of people that care about these fucking polls. A lot. Take last night's. What was it? 2 points, the media said. Well, it's going to be 2 points. It's, you know... Haley was up by 15 and then 10 and then it's dwindling and now, well, she's within 2. No, she got fucking trounced by 11.
Man, I don't know what poll had her up 15. That's wild.
Who, Carrie Lake?
No, fucking Nikki Haley.
I don't either, man. Believe in what you want in these polls. Should you have somebody who's running for governor sitting on the election board of the state that you're running for governor for? Absolutely fucking not.
That was Stacey Abrams complaining against Brian Kemp as well.
And Kemp? Hey, you know my feelings on Brian Kemp. Trebuchet into the fucking sun. That's my governor for Georgia. I hate that motherfucker as well. I hate both of them. I actually, if you could build a two-seater, you're actually, you know, you're going to have to figure out the weight issue there for Abrams, but you both of them can go hand in hands like they're at fucking Six Flags and launch that goddamn thing as high as it'll fucking go for the two of those assholes. So that I would be fine.
I'm surprised you just put them in there like 69ing.
Whatever.
One seater.
I don't care how they get in.
Okay.
I know that you're going to have to leave a trail of food for her.
Get creative with it.
Yeah. You leave a trail of food for her, but launch both of them into the fucking sun. I'm good with that. This one I'm really curious about. I'm curious to see how this race shakes out. Because I'll go back to 2020 and the issues with the election there. Arizona obviously had a massive issue. And then 2022, they didn't fix it. They had another massive issue there. And it came down to the same fucking county. Same county in both elections. Magically couldn't correct it, dude. And I think they've got a fucking gripe there. Obviously, Katie Hobbs didn't leave the election board there. Obviously, wouldn't let this election be challenged out there. And I don't know what's going to happen here. Who is she up against? Do we know that?
Carrie Lake for the Senate position?
Yeah.
I think Ruben Gallego, maybe. Kristen Sinema is currently the senator.
She's been there for a while.
I don't know that she's running again, though. I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm curious to see how this shakes out. Good for her at the end of the day for telling this guy to fuck off. Pretty shocking, though, to hear live on tape of, is there a number we can give you just to get the fuck out of there? Because I'll be honest, if I was in that room, I probably would have lobbed out a number, you know, a soft 50, and a soft 50 million to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, right. I should be noted, Carrie Lake is not the nominee yet.
Okay, she's, when's the primary? I think March?
It's something like that, yeah. But
it's usually March or April.
Yeah.
She's going to win. I mean, whoever she's up against, it really doesn't matter.
I'll have to check the polls.
Yeah, exactly. Look, she's super fucking famous. She's not gonna lose that. She's not gonna lose the primary. Now the general election down there for senator depends on who she's up against. We'll see, but yeah, it depends on what you believe and then why people are coming out. Like you just heard in that last clip on CNN, you had a record number of GOP voters coming out for that primary last night in New Hampshire. Weather isn't great out there, so some of these numbers are surprising to see once it's happened. But the question is, on a lot of people's minds, was did she then, if she recorded this, did she also record conversations with Trump? Doubt it. I don't even know. Maybe I should walk that back and maybe say 80-20. Who knows? But Trump is a fan of hers and vice versa and everything else. And I think he's going to support her anyways, and has recently, and as far as her Senate race is concerned. So I don't see any issues there. This DeWitt guy, though, can fuck right off. The whole state of Arizona and their whole political system just needs to be fucking imploded there or exploded. Whatever you want to do over there. Get them the fuck out of there. Get some new blood in there. Jesus Christ, man. Shocking. But homeboy just resigned about an hour ago, so he's all done there.
Did you see the other part of how much did you read about this?
About Carrie Lake?
About this recording.
I know it went on for like 5 minutes, five and a half minutes.
I think I saw a 10-minute recording. I listened to like four or five minutes of it last night and was like, all right, I don't know what else I'm gonna hear.
Yeah, I checked out after 2.5 minutes. Once I got what I came for here in this clip, I was all good to go after that.
But I guess at another point in the recording, I don't know if you heard this part or saw that this was said, that she was like, you should come out and say that they're telling you to do this. You know, like you should come out and say, you know, here, look at this corruption, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, I do that. Turn my next time I get in my car, turn the key. Boom. Was his quote.
I thought they were going to Irishman the guy, huh? Just blow him up.
And apparently.
Wow. They were going to ditty his car. With Kid Cudi there and just blow that fucker up in the driveway. Maybe. Who knows? Fucking local politics is worse than federal. I know I've said that a million times on this show. And like, dude.
He kept saying that this is. He also kept saying that this is coming from, quote, back east.
Huh. Really? Okay.
Those were the words, back east. So
that's
I don't know, old school mafia shit. I wish,
I
wish Dan was here because I don't know what that means, because the biggest, you know, you talk, everyone talks about like George Soros with the Democrats and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
The biggest Republican donors are still the Koch Foundation or whatever.
One of them's dead.
One of them's dead, but they still got their billions. But they're in Kansas. I mean, maybe their main offices are east in the east now, but they're Kansas based as far as I thought.
But,
yeah.
But also, is it just like a guy that's like, oh, I got fucking, you don't want to mess with me. I got fucking friends in the mafia. I got friends in low places.
He looks like that guy. I'm looking at the picture of this guy. He looks like it.
He's just bullshitting.
Yeah, probably. Either way, it just cost him his job and career and all that other stuff. So have fun with it. But man, super strange to hear on audio. I didn't hear the bomb part, though. Now I'm mad that I missed that. Whenever you threaten to blow up somebody's car, I like that old school shit, though. Fuck.
It was a gnarly conversation. I will say I have one critique of Carrie Lake. I think she can't help herself here because she's kind of a performer, right? She was on the news and shit like that.
For 30 years.
Yeah. Like, just record the conversation, man. You don't need to be like, this is about the country. Like, just get the evidence.
No, Bob.
This is about America.
If you know you're going to use it, you go after the performance.
She had some lines ready.
You go after the performance. I had this yesterday. I was buying an employee car for Hard AF Seltzer as a driver and deliveries and all that stuff. Simple, basic fucking car, right? And the guy asked for one fucking piece of paperwork. Well, it was at that Charles Mon dealership, Bob, where homeboy, the owner's son had his wife murdered. And No.
He had his lover murdered.
That's it. Yes. Lover murdered. And so they were asking for this piece of paperwork, and the guy was like, I can't do this deal if I don't have this one like mundane like signature on something or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool, man. Like, that's where you're going to draw the line. I was like, the owner's kid fucking murdered a bunch of people, and you guys had to change the name of the fucking dealership. But this is where you're going to draw the line? Hilarious. And immediately he texted me back like 10 seconds later, and he goes, it's a different dealership now. We've got a new name. We don't do that anymore. We're a family. He couldn't resist, obviously. And I go, look, pal, I don't give a shit. All right. And I actually like those kind of tactics, but you can't get away with it if you don't have real money. If you don't have Hunter Biden money, you can't do it at a local Toyota dealership in Austin. You got to have some big boy Hunter Biden money to do shit like that. Can't do that at the fucking Toyota. Look at Murdaugh down in South Carolina. Even though he was the big ball from around his small town, he still couldn't get away with that shit. Okay? Got to have that fucking huge stack of cash next to you to get away with shit like that. Not this fucking Toyota dealership money in fucking Austin.
Because he's just like this was like Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's not, you don't got that kind of money. You can't pay to get people killed.
Yeah.
You think you do.
I said this on the show. The one guy who ended up clipping him was actually a listener and was in the studio. And that's fun. You know, I got to meet him before this and everything else. I was like, oh, shit. I wish he would have been Drinking Bro of the Week, and then the news could have showed that clip, and it would have helped promote Drinking Bros. It would have been fun. But alas, he said, he was one of those listeners who was like, no lie, he's like, I can't be on camera right now. And I don't know if it was before or after, but either way, god damn it, I love it, dude. And I still think about it late at night. It's a strange story that I just shared with the entire world. Next up, a female commander sexually assaults male soldiers. Is that even possible? Is that even possible? The Army revealed it has fired a female commander in the Troubled Brigade after claims of sexual assaults on male soldiers. The female Army officer was fired from command of a unit base at Joint Base Lewis McChord. Is it McChord or McChord? What do we got there? What do you think there? Somebody's going to correct me in the chat.
Can't imagine it's McChord.
It's spelled McChord. McChord. I hope it's McChord. Is that her? Pop her up on screen. Is that her, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, popping him on screen.
Didn't that say Sullivan? Why'd you do that?
Yeah, she's Sullivan.
Yes. Yeah. Colonel Megan Sullivan.
Pull her up.
This is
Her.
This is fucking her.
Whoa, dude. Okay. All right. All right. Now that we're looking at her here, not great. Not great. But
I would say on par with your British lady yesterday.
No. Not even fucking close, dude. Not even goddamn close.
I mean, it's not far off.
Ah, you were wrong, sir. You were wrong. However, I'm going to have the same statement as yesterday regarding her. If you're out there, know your surroundings, okay? If you're out there in the world and you're stuck with a bunch of fucking dudes, there's a nice picture of her.
I was doing her kind of dirty for sure.
You fucking loser.
No, this is her cleaned up.
That's fine. She's going to be clean eventually.
She's not going to be touching you. She's going to look like she did in the first photo.
Fine.
Yeah, this is what's coming after your dong.
Hey, guys, you're in the military. It's all dudes. At that point, wouldn't you take anything that came your way? What would you give me an honest assessment of her? 5, 6?
I think on base, she's a 7. Off base, soft 4.
4?
Yeah. I don't rate women.
You
on a
sure
scale,
do.
On a yeah, scale like yeah, that, no,
you
I'm,
sure do.
I'm a feminist. So
it's really,
I do that.
The scale's binary.
Yeah. It's 1 or 0, yes or no.
I mean, look, on base, dude, going through with all your dude bros, you probably fuck anything. I look at the same way as like jail and whoever the fucking whoever the CO is. Like, you're doing it. You're doing that. Pop that picture up. You're doing that. Pop up the picture of her in uniform. The other one there. That looked like she just came from a mission and doing something.
It looks like she just walked into your room and she's like, "Everything good in here? Need to take off your pants? Why don't you take off your pants?"
Be great.
Look at that watch.
What are we bitching about? What are we bitching about, dude? I don't really understand this. Colonel Megan Sullivan served as a commander in the 5th Brigade Engineer Battalion, 5th Security Force Assistance Brigade at the base in Washington State. She was Jared actually might know her then. She was relieved of her command on October 13th, but this is the first time that her firing has been reported. Military.com first reported on her suspicion and the subsequent investigation into her conduct in April. That reporting was part of the publication's investigation into the 5th Special Forces Air Force Base.
Yeah, I got what she did.
What was it? What do we got?
She got drunk and she grabbed one guy's wiener.
Great.
And forcefully kissed another guy.
And they told on her? They fucking snitched on her for that?
What if they're married?
Yeah. You want
somewhere? You're in the middle of nowhere, dude. It's all dudes. You're not taking a fucking beach that late.
You know, they're both subordinates. He's saying it's a little tricky.
It's not at all, dude.
And these are only, I think those are only 2 of the incidents. There might have been others.
You've never had a woman you had no interest in just trying to like grab your dick or your ass?
Yeah, I have.
It's not great.
No comment. But it depends on where you are, guys. Really depends on where you are and what your sitch is. Hypothetical here, and this is just, I don't know, completely fucking made up. Let's say you're in the dead of winter of Ohio, okay? 4 feet of snow on the grounds. Grocery stores aren't open. Bars and restaurants aren't open. You can't have fun fraternity parties. Shit, it's even hard to make out a face because the snow's coming down so hard. Take what's out there, kids. All right? That's all I'm saying. And if you're stuck in Washington State, weather's not great there anyways. It's raining. It's cold. This is the only thing. And she knocks on that door. Hey, do you need a beach? You need a HJ? What do you need out of me? What do you need? I don't know. What's your name, Megan? Megan, I don't know tonight. Okay, I'm just trying to kick back and maybe call my girlfriend here in 7 to 10 days. Whenever they let me make a phone call, I don't know, Megan. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just drunk. Looking to suck some dicks and then get out of here. Okay. All right. And then they fucking snitched on her for grabbing a wiener. That's it. and making out with some dude? Come on, man. Come on. Megan, we're on your side, okay? If you want to come and tell your side of the story on the show, we would love to have you. That's all we're saying. Sullivan did not immediately return a request for comment there and is still in the service and was reassigned to the I-Corps. I don't know what that is. Based out of the same installation. She is seemingly not facing a court-martial, according to military.com review of the public-facing court docket. It was unclear whether she had hired an attorney. What is clear, though, is that her picture's out there now, and wherever she moved on to, well, they're about to have a real goddamn good time. Okay? What's that? Is that her? Is she a Patriots fan, too? Pop that pick up. Let's see it. Yeah, look at that old school Patriots logo. Look at that. Is she at the Super Bowl?
I don't think that's the Super Bowl.
She's got a little laminate pass around her neck.
She looks like she's in a fucking dorm room.
Yeah, that's just like what she keeps her fucking
keys in. She's in the barracks. Look at throwing up a fucking
look at
poster.
The laminate she's got on, dude.
Also, is this 82nd Airborne? Is that what she is?
Zoom in. Is it?
Well, there's an 82nd Airborne patch up above the Patriots thing.
Dan's not
and she's
here
got her,
today.
She's got her wings or whatever, the fucking paratrooper thing, which she's certified.
Yeah, dude, Dan's not here today or else he could tell us. But
someone in the chat, drop it, because I don't fucking know.
Look at that.
But she's definitely a paratrooper.
That place.
And bang, there's the 82nd.
Yes, you're good to go, dude. She comes in and grabs your cock late at night. What the fuck are you doing? I'm going to tell on you. Jesus Christ. Now, the hilarious part about this report is they're saying here in the article, only about 8% of male officers have reported sexual assaults over the years against female soldiers here. That's surprising because that number seems high. It seems real high. I would have pegged that at maybe, I don't know, 1%, just 1%. Bunch of fucking dudes stuck in the middle of nowhere. Come on, man. Megan, come do the show, Megan Sullivan. We support you, okay? We support you out there. It's like the female teachers who get arrested for fucking their students. It's, you know.
Still pedophilia.
Is it?
It is.
Is it? At 16, would you have fucked your teacher?
Dude, you are not going to be down with some fucking, like, 35-year-old woman getting down on one of your 16-year-old kids.
No.
I'm sorry.
There's no way.
Bob, we just did a full story on Ross Patterson Revolution about that hot-ass teacher.
Oh, yeah, you did say you were.
Remember, the dad was my hero.
Yeah.
The dad letter, he was like, oh, man, take the fucking master.
I'll be
out in the jacuzzi, man. He was letting him fuck inside his own house. Damn it, man. Why would you ruin people's dreams?
Man,
you never had a dream.
It's just such a fucking meatball take. Oh, hell yeah, brother, yeah. Am I right? No.
Oh, I forgot, because you're so fucking nuanced from Delco.
I'm trying to.
Sorry.
Trying to evolve.
Sorry. Boss. Are you?
Yes.
The fucking blonde hair. You're going to come in and give me a fucking nuanced take on that? You were in a goddamn threesome, what, 2 months ago at a fucking sex warehouse?
It was
here
a four
in Austin.
Way. It was a four-way.
It was a four-way.
In a fucking sex warehouse.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was staring.
With 100 people fucking, and you're going to give me nuanced sexual takes?
Yes. Don't fuck underage people.
Jesus,
it's pretty simple.
Christ.
It's pretty fucking simple, right? If you're not going to, don't let 16-year-olds fuck 30-year-olds. It's pretty simple.
What's the age of consent there?
It's 18, man. 18.
It's not. What's in Texas?
It doesn't matter. 18.
It is actually illegal regardless for a teacher to fuck a student. No matter.
And that's
the
only thing that's
is
illegal about it, because the age consent was there on both parties. But,
in Missouri, that chick was, I think, up for age of consent was good to go, but for it's illegal for teachers.
It's illegal for teachers to fuck their students, yeah. Because I think the age of consent in Texas is either 16 or 17 down here. I think it's 17, actually. I forget what it is in Missouri. I know the kid was on the up and up, and the dad was there. The dad was there for it.
17 for both.
17 for both, yeah. There you go. Next up, we got the first liquor store open in Saudi Arabia. Are they going to start fucking partying over there? Good for these guys.
MBS, making them Western.
Well, if you're straight, I'm sure it's going to be fine. Can't wait to see how they treat the gay guys once they have Pride Parade out in the streets over there. The news, which is not been officially confirmed by the Saudi government, marks a major breakthrough for the highly conservative Muslim theocracy where alcohol has been banned since 1952. According to a list of store rules seen by CNBC, the venue is only accessible to non-Muslim diplomats. An authoritarian must be validated through an app called Diplo. Diplo is the app you wanted to name that.
I guess they're just shortening diplomat. That sounds about right to me, to be honest.
Kids, we got some sponsors to put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, we got Fieldcraft Survival app. Let's go, baby. We got a special offer for our Drinking Bros listeners here. As a listener of the Drinking Bros podcast, Fieldcraft Survival app wants to offer you an exclusive offer of 30 days free. It's a free trial on the monthly subscription of the Fieldcraft Survival app. If you need to learn jiu-jitsu, combatives, self-defense, they got all that digital training, plus preparedness content on their app there to help you learn to survive the worst-case scenario. You can check out their bushcraft, survival disaster prep, their medical and trauma training, and more. They've got all the preparedness content that you need to help you become better prepared for life's challenges. This is Mike Glover's company over there. Love Mike. Their mission is to prepare every citizen and become prepared to survive the worst case scenario. To do this, they offer live training, gear, and online education. Up until now, though, they didn't have a proper platform for long-form digital educational content. Now, with the Fieldcraft Survival app, you can learn all the things preparedness from the experts of the field over there at Fieldcraft. For the first monthly subscription, you're going to get 30 days free using the code DRINKINBROS30 over there. For the annual subscription, you'll get 35% off your annual subscription by using the code DRINKINBROS35. Head on over there. I'm telling you, one of these days, shit's going to turn ugly, dude, and you're going to need this. I promise you, dude. One of these things that Mike talks about that's on the app is going to happen in real life, and you're going to wish you had this goddamn thing. Because let's face it, we're not looking at this shit every single day. We're not studying it, but it will come in handy one day. I can promise you that. Head on over to the Fieldcraft Survival app, Drinking Bros 30. Over there is going to get you 30% off in that 30-day free trial over there. Next up, we got MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000 over there. We got the big games on this weekend. Let's go. Let's go. All right, who do I got? Who do I got this weekend? Chiefs, Moneyline. Kiss that 3.5 goodbye. Don't need it. Fuck off. I think the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. And unfortunately, I think the 49ers are also going back to the Super Bowl. Not stoked about watching Brock Purdy in the fucking Super Bowl, but it is what it is. I hope the Lions win, but I'm taking 49ers minus 6.5 in that game. And I'm taking the Chiefs money line this weekend. Also going to bet on the over in the Chiefs-Ravens game and the under in the 49ers game there. But let's face it, 53 million people watched last weekend's game. It's going to go even higher this time, dude. You're going to be at somebody's house, somebody's party with your kids or whatever. Everybody's going to have money on the game. I know I will. Can you really feel alive inside watching these games if you don't have a little action on it? Probably not. Head on over to mybookie.com. Enter that promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Last but not least, hardafseltzer.com. Let's go, baby! 8% seltzer, no carbs, no sugars, no gluten, if you give a fuck about that. And we're everywhere right now, at least trying to be. Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio, and Texas. We're available in every single Total Wines down here in the South. Selling out everywhere. Get in there. If we're not in a store near you, you're going to tell them you want it, dude. If you're in Ohio, say, look, Heidelberg's carrying it. Call Heidelberg. Let them know we want it. You're in Tennessee. Tell them to call Best Brands down there. So we want Hard AF Seltzer in our stores, in our restaurants and bars. If you're out there in Wilmington, North Carolina, hit up Wyndham. Say, we want it. Florida, Sunshine State, say, we want it. Georgia and Alabama, we're with Crown Distribution down there. Tell them you want it. Texas, we're with Favorite Brands out here. Tell them you want it. We just started opening up in HEBs in Texas. Alabama, grocery store-wise, we're in all the Piggly Wigglies. Even that fun brand new one up in that nice suburb of Birmingham. Woo! We're up there as well. And if you're in the Wilmington area down there, Brunches, favorite breakfast spot out there, they're all carrying it. If you're watching the big games this weekend, let's say you're in Columbus, Ohio, hit the Short North, Pine House down there. Hit Urban Meyer's Pine House out in Dublin. Hit Standard Hall on campus if you're feeling frisky down there. 14 or no liquors. Also, if you're just bringing it back to your house, that's fine. If you're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, watching it on campus down there, want to feel close to the stadium, or a stadium at least, head on out to Ramajama out there, or Corks and Tops there. You can hit that Shell station on 1405 University Boulevard. We're also on Auburn's campus. Tiger Liquors, pop on in there and say, what's up? What up, girl? Give me some fucking Hard AF Seltzer. They love it. They love it when you scream it out. Shit, in Athens, Georgia, if you're a UGA fan, dude. We're the ABC store, the liquor store there. Just sold out last night. Supposed to restock today, though. Grab some Hard AF Seltzer. Support us and support the show today. All you got to do is go to hardafseltzer.com. Type in your city or zip in the store locator to find the store nearest you. Now, if you're not in one of those states or the surrounding states that's currently serving it, we still ship right to your house at hardafseltzer.com. I think they're just a huge fan of Diplo, you know, and they're like, look, if he parties,
who is
we
it?
Party, who let's just fan? Name the fucking app Diplo and then go from there. I think that'd be great. Saudi Arabia's long had a smuggling problem, apparently, with diplomats selling imported alcohol on the black market. Sources told CNBC, huge shock there. Saudi Arabia is looking to open that up in the first quarter of its capital, Riyadh. And again, this is not official yet here. So no guests or people under the age of 21 are allowed to accompany authorized visitors to the store. Photography is strictly prohibited. We used to have that for weed stores here. And mobile phones need to be kept in a secure mobile pouch so as not to be used while in the store.
You can't go into this store and be like, what up? I'm in the only liquor store in Saudi Arabia. This shit plate, this crazy shit's crazy, man. Check yeah. the shit out.
That's what happened in L.A. with weed, man. So, like, when they started opening up all the weed stores in L.A. In the 2000s, everybody wanted to take a pic with all the sweet weed in the background and in the cases and everything. And be like, oh, man, I'm buying fucking weed legally. And they wouldn't let you do that either back then. So I understand it. Purchases are also subject to a monthly quota system per registered individual.
Boo.
All of this. So here's the biggest shocker to me in this. Are Muslims not allowed to drink?
Yeah, I think so.
Depends how Muslim you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I don't know, Sunni and Shiite, do they have like different rules? I'd imagine.
It's a strange one to
the
me.
The Quran
because...
forbids drinking.
Okay. Yeah, because I like... Let's face it. Those are hardcore Muslims over there. I mean, they're praying every day and all that other shit. So it's not like the CNE crowd for Catholics in America.
Not in Dubai, though. I mean, you go to...
Not in Dubai, but this is in Saudi Arabia, so... Yeah,
but I think MBS is trying to get it to the point where they want Westerners to come over for business. So, I mean, they're just opening things up for... You know, Americans to come over, English to come over.
No, I get it. And they were going to have sales at the World Cup in Qatar, and then they pulled that at the last second for alcohol sales. Boned everybody.
Brutal.
Man, imagine flying all the way over there, getting ready for your team to play, and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, we stopped doing that. What? Although they did allow it in the suites, by the way. So if you were rich enough to have a suite, you could continue drinking and all that other stuff. But the rest of the poors who flew in from all over the goddamn world to watch their favorite soccer team play, no, sorry, bro. Couldn't get your Budweiser. I think Budweiser was the sponsor that year.
They're usually the sponsor. They have been for the last couple.
Yeah. Next up, Jon Stewart is making a grand return to host The Daily Show. Jon Stewart will return to The Daily Show as a host and executive producer. The comedian who, during his 16-year run as the host of the Comedy Central program, established it as an entertainment and cultural force, will return to host the show each week on Mondays, starting February 12th. Showtime and MTV Entertainment Studios announced on Wednesday. Stewart, who returns as the 2024 presidential election season heats up, will also executive produce the show and work with a rotating lineup of comedians who will helm the program the rest of the week, Tuesdays through Thursdays. Jon Stewart is the voice of our generation, and we are honored to have him return to Comedy Central's The Daily Show to help us all make sense of the insanity and division roiling the country as we enter the election season, said Chris McCarthy, the chief executive of Showtime and MTV Entertainment Studios, in a statement. In our age of staggering hypocrisy and performative politics, John is the perfect person to punctuate the empty rhetoric that is involved and provide much needed clarity with his brilliant wit. Mm. Man, he boned over a lot of people. Really boned over a lot of people. So look, I know none of you watch this goddamn show. I barely do either. I just happen to know somebody on it who is an old school homie that I did a bunch of movies with. So I'll pop in here and there to see them. But as far as The Daily Show is concerned as a whole, the show has been dead for years. This was probably the last ditch effort out of it of like, hey, how much money can we pay you? And can you come back and just do one night? We know you don't want to be on every single fucking night, and then say whatever you want. Bring back your popularity and your name and all that other shit. Because the thing with Apple was a massive fucking failure, and it damaged his brand so bad that people forgot. I watched it over on Apple. It got canceled after one season.
Was it an hour?
It was, and it was very serious. And they also had some inserts of him sitting with the writers. And
I never watched it.
If you just spun a wheel of diversity, every single race and thing and all this stuff was all the writers, and he was just doing too much, man. He got away from who he was and what he used to do. Now, is this a return to that? Maybe. You know, him going after Trump in this upcoming election will certainly be his bread and butter. But do people care anymore is the question. And I don't know the answer with that, man. I don't know that people are even – like, I can't find Comedy Central on my television, on like, YouTube TV or any of that stuff anymore. I don't know what happened to it.
I'll give it a look. I don't know. Like, prime Jon Stewart, even if you didn't agree with his politics, he was very, very good.
He was. But, I mean, if you look at it, though, it's been, I think, 9 years he's been off the air. I mean, a long time, 9 years. Yeah. Nine's a lot. And for me personally, again, because I'll pop in to see my friends from time to time over there. They had plenty of people in the stable to take over that show and be great. They just didn't choose him. And now this decision, his decision, is really going to fuck them. The major thing with this, and again, they've been doing this for like the last 6 or 7 months, is having a new host every night or the same host for 1 week and then a different one for everything else, is there's no consistency. So you can't really get behind anyone because everybody's got a different style of comedy and delivery. And when you're doing a news show like when we're doing today, you do need that consistency on a daily basis. Otherwise, you can't get the same voice and tone for it. 1 week they had Les Dog. Remember Leslie Jones, who I fucking hate, who was on SNL? It's that fat black chick in her 50s. Yeah. Awful. But then the next week it was Chelsea Handler. So you had polar opposites of the delivery and the style of comedy and everything else, and it's confusing. I know when they won at the Emmys on Monday night, Roy Wood Jr., who actually wanted the job and was pretty goddamn good at it, got caught mouthing the words, "Hire a host," into camera there, and that got projected around the world. This doesn't do them any favors. It does John a lot of good, but nobody else.
Yeah, so. I don't have high hopes for this. You know who I like on The Daily Show? I haven't really seen him on The Daily Show because I don't watch it, but I know he's on it. And I've liked a lot of his stand-up that I've caught on like social media and shit is Ronnie Chang.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny dude.
They got a stable over there, yeah, man.
It's honestly not a bad. And I think Michael Che was actually a correspondent right at the end of Jon Stewart's run.
Yeah, I mean, look, my money was on Jordan Klepper, I think his name is. Is that his name?
Yeah, I'm not a big Klepper guy.
I don't like him either, but he fits in with that mold of the look and the delivery of this style of host. And then Desi Leidick fucking crushed. She did it for like 2 weeks in a row. She was excellent. And I thought, personally, if you weren't going with one or the other, pair the two of them up and do it as a weekend update style show and then try to bring people back that way. But clearly they decided not to go in that direction. So I don't know. But also... Look, let's face it. Comedy Central's in trouble anyways. This is probably their last-ditch effort to get ratings and advertisers and all that stuff. And now that Trump is definitely going to be the nominee, sure, I guess bring Jon Stewart back from the dead and let him do once a week. If he was doing it daily, I would have hopes for this. But since he's not, I just don't. Sorry about it. Next up, dying to watch the big game. Bob, you found this story. And is there a more bizarre story on the fucking internet right now?
Dude, this story is fucking weird.
Yeah, the mystery deepens as a fifth friend at a Chiefs gathering claims fans found frozen to death in the backyard were inside watching Jeopardy when he left here. A fifth person who has not been named publicly had joined the group. Which included David Harrington, 37, Ricky Johnson, 38, Clayton McGeaney, 36, at Jordan Willis's Kansas City rental on January 7th to watch their hometown team, the Chiefs, play their last regular season game. The man told the outlet that when he left the home, Willis and his three friends were still awake. The man also stressed that he was not the last person to see Harrington, Johnson, and McGeaney alive before they froze to death.
Dude,
in Willis's backyard and went unnoticed for two fucking days. Bob,
probably in bright red Chiefs gear.
I was going to say, Bob, you've been all over this story here. What do you make of something like this? Like, is it possible that you just got that fucked up and forgot about your buddies or not?
If you're doing heroin, maybe. Like, I don't...
But this doesn't look like... Pop their picture up for the people. These don't look like heroin people.
I mean, like, you know, maybe they're taking some Vicodin or something. They look like Vicodin. They look like Vicodin dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially. But, dude, like, so here's what happened in this story as far as I know so far. They're there. They're watching the game. They go outside and freeze to death. And the other guy who's... I don't think he's in this picture, but the other guy... says he didn't notice because he fell asleep on his couch and didn't see them in the backyard because he was asleep on his couch for 2 days.
These two guys right here are opioid guys. Just look at that. Yeah. Look at those faces.
No, this is so bizarre. I don't know. So
but also, how the fuck? Okay, they got locked outside, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you freeze it? Like you're banging on the door and you're like, asshole, let us back in. Oh, he's passed out. All right, let's go to the car. It's cold as shit out here.
Yeah, dude.
You don't just sit outside until you freeze to death.
There's more to this story that we don't know. And again, with most of these things, I'll try to relate it to something that happened in my life at some point and then try to work backwards from there on either what I would have done or what actually might have happened. And the only thing that I can think of was there was a kid who overdosed in college on GHB. And he was dead. His buddies checked on him. It appeared as if he was sleeping. And then 8 to 10 hours later, they came back into the room to check on him. And he had been dead in there, right? But that was 8 to 10 hours. And that was because everybody, and they were raging all night, right? The rest of the fraternity was raging all night and all that other stuff. That makes sense to me that you would maybe sleep in 10 hours being hungover. Not two fucking days, though, dude. 2 days? You're going to sleep for two straight days and then not notice your missing best friends dead in bright red Chiefs gear in the backyard of your fucking house? That's nuts to me. Is it possible? Sure. But I'm sure there's some form of toxicology report that's being done right now.
Yeah, the police have said they still have no suspicion of foul play.
Really?
Which is, it means it's got, there's got to be drugs. It's got
to
be drugs.
But they also fucking party. Dude, have you been to a Chiefs game?
Yeah.
Dude, they rage.
I've loved it.
One of the funnest tailgates, because we do these live tailgate shows all over the country. That Chiefs tailgate was one of the funnest fucking times I've ever had.
They go hard as fuck.
I got obliterated with those guys. Because the other part, too, is you go into the stadium and you're freezing your ass off, so you're just boozing all goddamn day. Maybe they were outside smoking heaters, man. It was fucking cold, though.
But for...
I know.
What? How do you... I mean, like, you can't... You don't freeze to death in 10 minutes. Like, it had to, it would, it's either some freak accident, like, or I don't know, man. Somebody passed out, or, like, they had to have driven there, right?
Three guys, though? Like, you don't notice your first buddy dying and be like, oh, shit, we should probably go back in because he's
right. Like,
frozen
they didn't,
to death?
They didn't all freeze to death at the exact same time. Like, something really weird happened here, and I am excited to find out what it is.
Man. So Harrington, Johnson, and McGeady's bodies were not found until January 9th. 2 days later, and only after McGeady's fiance requested a welfare check. So this could have gone on forever. If homegirl doesn't call the police and ask for a welfare check of, hey, can you go to the house where my husband was partying watching that Chiefs game and figure it out for me? That would be swell. That's the only reason they fucking found him. In an interview with News Nation last week, somebody named Paserno said Willis left his home sporadically on January 8th and 9th, only to backtrack on Monday and say that Willis had only been in and out of his bedroom. So I guess one of them lived with him there. Ricky Johnson's mother allegedly texted the fifth friend with concerns about his whereabouts as well. And what he said here on News Nation was, what I meant to say is that he left, he was sleeping, and he left his bedroom sporadically. Willis moved out of the home less than a week after the bodies were found. His lawyer added, the Kansas City Police Department is reportedly still waiting for an autopsy and toxicology results, though Captain Jake Pacina told Fox News that the incident is 100% not being investigated as a homicide.
So if there's a toxicology report, I don't know, maybe they just are still like running with the idea that they froze to death. Maybe they went outside to do a couple key bumps. I don't know why you would do it outside, but a little Fenty got in there.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know, man. I mean, look, if you were smoking heaters and did a couple bumps, to get yourself through the game, because it's intense watching these games. You know, I understand that. Freezing to death, though, is just so gnarly to me that I don't get it. I mean, again, one would think you would pound on the door or kick down the fucking door or just go to the car and turn it on and have some heat. I don't really get this story. Super curious to find out what the end result is in this goddamn thing, because that's crazy, man. Absolutely fucking crazy. Next up, flights delayed because of farts. Yeah, let's take you down to the basement here today, kids. Excessively farting passenger forces American Airlines flights to turn around. An American Airlines plane was reportedly forced to return to the gate due to high winds. Nailed it. With the disgruntled passengers, stinky farts. There was, yes, a big stink over the flatulent flyer that unfolded while a recent flight from Phoenix, Arizona to Austin. Oh, shit, he was going to Austin.
Yeah, so actually this story was first posted in the Austin subreddit.
Was it really, dude? Do we have a pic of this fucking dude?
No. No pics or anything, but it's like the full story.
Okay.
In terms of what happened.
Yeah, it says here, before most people had boarded, I observed this man who is audibly disgruntled about something, maybe hungover, rough day, I don't know. But as soon as he sat down, he was grumbling about something under his breath, like fucking hell or something like that. After the majority of passengers had boarded, the man reportedly exclaims, "You thought that was rude? Well, how about this smell?" And then he began to fart. as hard and loud as he could. He said, I don't know what provoked that comments, and while kind of funny to overhear, it was really uncalled for, especially coming from a grown man on an airplane, nonetheless. But the excessively farting passenger's gross behavior didn't end there. The man who was purposely farting moments ago decides to loudly scream out, yeah, everybody, let's just eat the smelliest food possible all at the same time. So maybe that's what drove him over the edge. I don't know. It's happened to me on a flight before. Somebody opened up just a huge pile of fucking stink from a Mexican joint at a restaurant. I was like, man, that's the food you wanted to fucking open up on this plane today? A guy in the row behind him overheard him saying to that passenger, if you don't like it, you can fly private, to which Fartman, that's what the article is describing him as, it's not what I'm calling him, although I do like Fartman a lot, and if that was a superhero, it'd be great. Fartman says, that's so fucking rude. Really, Fartman? You're the one who was fucking dropping heaters on the plane, and you're pissed off about that comment? The passenger also said another person nearby chimed in. I think we can all agree you're the rude one here. Got him. Got him. At one point, the flight attendant intervenes and told the guy that that was enough. The plane was taxiing to the runway but came to a stop. According to the Redditor that Bob was referring to there, an announcement comes over saying apologies for the interruption, but we're returning to the gate. We'll give you more info as we have it. They said they got back to the gate, and a flight attendant comes back and informs Fartman that he will not be staying on this flight, and he simply replies, I don't understand. She tells him they'll talk about it after they get off the plane. Now, to his credit, he did leave the plane in a calm manner there. And luckily, the trip was only delayed by about 30 minutes. And everybody on board reported that American Airlines handled it swiftly and correctly. Good for American Airlines there. We've been on that flight from American from Phoenix to Austin. Man, that would suck. What the fuck is wrong with people these days? You know? I just don't get it.
I bet you he was hungover. He just wasn't having it.
Or just completely fucking wasted. One of the two.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And was just like, hey, I'm all good. The other part about it is we've all been on these flights. I mean, you can literally pry open your asshole with both hands if you want and just pass gas the entire fucking time, and no one will know it's you as long as you don't say anything. Some people actually enjoy it. It's a fetish for a lot of people out there, and that's how they get off. It's just farting on these fucking planes, stinking up the joint, and having no one know about it. So if he didn't say anything, flight would have gone on as planned. But there was some person on Reddit who wrote, maybe the flight was low on gas and that's why it did it. Nailed it.
Hey,
I like puns like that. I'm sorry. I do. Is that listener back there, Bob?
No, he had to go, but he left me a note. He wasn't able to stay.
Bring it up here.
Okay, hold on.
Did he leave the Drinking Bro? I told him, I said, hey, man, you can come up and give Drinking Bro of the Week. But he bounced, huh? All right. What was the note? Is there a credit card?
No.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give him a shout out here. This is Thomas E. Kemmler. He does wealth consulting.
I think he wasn't at here for the wealth consulting though.
He wasn't.
No. He was here.
Damn it, that's too bad.
I don't know if the note said it. He might have whispered it to me. He's starting a podcast on Texas wines.
Okay.
Reviewing Texas wines.
Gotcha.
Because we are about an hour away from Texas.
He's trying to get a free plug.
Oh, really? Is he a listener though?
I don't know.
As far as I know, yeah.
I think so, right? I talked to him.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so he says, hey, guys, I'm starting a podcast about Texas wines and wineries. He didn't say the name of the podcast. So, all right, he's not trying to get a free plug. All right.
Well, he just went about it in the wrong way.
What do you think? He should have dropped his podcast?
No, I
would say it.
I'm saying. He should have, like, thrown it in the note. I don't know why. Because the rest of the note tells you about the podcast.
Maybe he's just a fucking homie. He says, I just had a few questions regarding the X's and O's. Let me know if you can chat about it. Sure, man. I'm always happy to talk to people about starting podcasts. I really don't give a shit. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to do it. I'll say this. One, it's very difficult. What's the stat that Red Circle told us the other day? It's like, I think there's 950,000 podcasts that are active. Only 7,000 of them get over more than 500 downloads per episode.
700 downloads in a 24-hour period.
Yep. So it is incredibly difficult to build an audience and a fan base and all that other stuff. I'll say this. The people that have had success on our network typically have huge social media platforms, and they're able to go out to all their fans pretty quickly. Ours, you take Drinking Bros, for example, we've never marketed it. Never really had a big social media push or anything. It was more or less just word of mouth. We were also one of the first ones to get in, you know, way back in the day there. We're going on year 9 now on this show. So this was a thing that we took seriously for a long time, even though it was crazy as fuck. The other part about it is the genre. That really, really fucking matters. The genre that you're in, and people are drawn to certain genres. And if you find a niche and are able to exploit it within that genre, it's very beneficial to you. Take Jesse and Joel's show. They got the show called Crime Corner. They were just kind of doing it for fun. We were doing it for Patreon and all that other stuff. Jesse, my wife, does not fucking post on social media at all. Our social media team has taken over since now and started doing some stuff for her and posting it and all that stuff. But she values the time with the kids and all that other stuff and doesn't want to be on the phone. And I totally get that. And that's what I love about her. But because of the genre she's in, that show has accidentally taken off. And it's great. It's fun to see. But she was not intentionally trying to have a big podcast or anything. So if you're out there, start with the genre. Figure out something that is going to be different within that genre. Don't pick a very hard genre to crack. Comedy is extremely difficult to crack. I think that's number one as far as the demos on iTunes to crack.
Sports,
number two.
Super oversaturated. Yep.
Number three is society and culture, which is like topical events and all that other shit, like Ross Patterson Revolution and everything else like that. Those are very, very difficult. I get hit up all the time. I had a call yesterday, so that's why I don't mind this, because I'll help out friends and shit like that and listeners. Business is another one to get in, like very, very difficult to get into. I'll say if you're a business podcaster that's looking to do it, hopefully you had some massively successful product and you can start there and then interviewing people from there and everything else. But let's face it, if you're working at like, you know, a credit union in a small town somewhere and then trying to give business advice, that is very, very difficult to do. So try to find something completely unique. When we all decided to do this one, we were finishing up the rewrites of Range 15. Podcasts were starting to take off, and my wife is a huge fan. She said, hey, I think this would be great to do. And at that time, I'd finally met people with a darker sense of humor than me, which is really fucking tough. And I was like, shit, if we were going to do it, this would be the crew to do it with. And Jared was like, you know, we tried one and it didn't go well. And, we just didn't have a host. And I was like, well, I could fucking host and that'd be really goddamn easy. And then we could switch it in and do everything we want to do, and get it out into the world. But, it definitely took off on its own. Not a lot of posting from, you know, like I know Matt's got a huge social media following, but, they were doing other stuff and promoting, Article 15 and then Black Rifle. And, you know, you don't want to oversaturate your feed with stuff. So, it just kind of happened organically and it was a happy accident. But I will say this, as far as the show overall, there was nothing with a comedian and somebody from the military. And I remember looking at like Fighter and the Kid, for example. I was listening to that at the time, thinking how interesting that was with a guy that was in the UFC who was ranked and a comedian. And I was friends with Brian Callen for years at that point. And I thought that was super unique. And I was like, all right, comedian in the military, that would be really fucking cool and something different that nobody could match. And as the years have gone on here, I appreciate the uniqueness of it. I realize how special and unique this show is. And it's simply because we had a plan from the get-go. So it wasn't like we were just like, fuck it, we're all bros and we're just going to do this in the garage. No, the plan was to have a huge show. You just don't know if you're going to be able to do it or not. So I certainly don't mind things like this. As far as wine goes, Texas wines, that's going to be a rough one. It's going to be a rough one. Like Delco said, there's a bunch of wineries about an hour away. However, take somebody like me. I'm not from Texas, and I was unaware that there was any form of wineries here and all that other stuff, and I still haven't been. Have you guys gone out there?
Yeah, Fredericksburg's
awesome. I love Fredericksburg.
That's what everybody says, man, that Fredericksburg rocks.
It's not necessarily because of the wine, though.
And that's the other thing I've heard. They just said Fredericksburg rocks.
Yeah, it's a cool German town. Yep. They got a lot of good German food and beer.
Uh-huh.
That's a good time.
I heard the food and drink is excellent there. I heard it's a blast to take your family.
Just go
and
for
all
the
other stuff. Yeah. But as far as Texas, no, I have had Texas wine before, and it's okay. It's tough when you're moving from California and you have that wine all the time. But it's not terrible either. It's just Texas. I just wondered how they were able to get the grapes to be the way they were with the droughts every fucking summer. You know, and then you have these weird deep freezes in the winter. One would think that would be a very, very difficult climate to grow great grapes, but shit, I don't know. Maybe when his podcast starts, you can listen to it about the Texas wines and really fulfill that desire within you to learn about it. All right, kids, we appreciate you tuning in, doing fake news all week just to do it. Why not, dude? You guys have asked for it for years. Fuck it. Do it. We'll do it live. And if you get a chance, please watch D'Anthony Holloway's panel on YouTube, on our Drinking Bros podcast YouTube channel there, with his discussion about suicide prevention with Tim Kennedy and Brian Callen. That is up now. We wanted to go live a little bit later so that way that could have a chance to air in its entirety. We will leave that up forever, and please check that video out tonight.
And sports is going out in 45 minutes on YouTube.
Yes. So flip on over to Drinking Bros Sports over there. Subscribe to that channel, and then obviously rate all these goddamn things on iTunes and Spotify. That's what helps, man. That's all the advertisers care about. Shit, that's a note for podcasts. Tell everybody to rate and review your fucking shows. That'll help get it up the charts and get more notice and everything else. It's hard, though, to get people to review shit. Even when somebody's over at my house and they're like, hey, man, how did I cut your yard? Would you give me a review on it? I was like, fuck, man. Do I want to sit and fill out this five-minute survey? Probably not. But Spotify's just a five-star.
Yeah, if you're going to give me a review, too, and you think the show's awesome, give us five stars. Don't give us four stars. If your review's positive and it says awesome, don't give us four stars.
You know what's funny? So I was looking at wine to ship to my house last night, ironically. And I looked up the reviews for this one thing, and this woman had given this wine company four stars. And her reason that she gave it four out of five stars is she goes, I ordered the wine. It looks beautiful. It came in a great box. I just haven't drank it yet. Why go out of your way to give it four out of five?
Yeah. Just wait till you drink it.
Just wait till you drink it. That's it.
And also, if you just don't believe in five stars as a concept, I don't know what to tell you. Just give us the fucking five stars.
That's it. Just if you're a fan. And then you can get these t-shirts on drinkitbros.com, store stocked up. So head on over there. That'll help as well. And then go out and get some hard AF seltzer. Fucking, you know the rules over here. It's a free goddamn show. We're trying to do what we can. But we do appreciate you tuning in every day. And to everybody on Patreon for subscribing and all that stuff. And Dan will be back in 2 days, I think. Is he back on Friday? Do we know that? Thursday or Friday? When's his flight?
I don't know. Maybe next week.
Who knows? Who fucking knows, dude? Might be doing fake news for the next 15 years. Who knows? Just to do it. We don't know. No. He'll come back, I think, in about 48 hours. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, you know what to do on the fucking rating thing. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. You know it. iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. Thanks for being here, even though he's not here. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.